windows, glass windows.
It's already planned, and last week's donated.
Oh, it's donated. Nice. It gives a very nice aristocratic feeling. It's really wonderful, isn't it? Did we have to build this room, or was it like this?
It was like a workshop before, so it's like completely
renovated. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. So, yes. Please let us now concentrate. Is my voice loud enough for all of you? Yes? Good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 We are reading this morning from the third canto, chapter 31, text 18. This is a verse which is taken from the prayers of the living entity or the embryo, which is still in the womb and which by the Lord's mercy is awakened to consciousness. That means this little child understands, I am in the womb of my mother. I have had many such situations. I had many such imprisonments in the womb of my mother, and I'm now just about to leave the womb to start another series of my material samsara. So he's a little bit worried and very much in stress, you can say, in the birth stress or before birth stress. So now we will hear the prayer. Krishna. My dear Lord, by your causeless mercy, I am awakened to consciousness, although I'm only 10 months old. For this causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the friend of all fallen souls, there's no way to express my gratitude but to pray with folded hands. So the living entity feels I'm now aware of my circumstances. I have been gotten my consciousness back, and I know now I am there, and the Lord is there. I'm very grateful for this. Prabhupada writes a purport to this. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, intelligence and also forgetfulness are both supplied by the super soul sitting within the individual soul within the body. When Paramatma sees that a conditioned soul is very serious about getting out of the clutches of the material influence, the Supreme Lord gives intelligence from within as the super soul and from without as the spiritual master, or as an incarnation of the Personality of Godhead himself. He helps by speaking instructions such as Bhagavad Gita. The Lord is always seeking the opportunity to reclaim the fallen souls to his abode, the kingdom of God. We should always feel very much obliged to the personality of Godhead, for he is always anxious to bring us into the happy condition of eternal life. There's no sufficient means to repay this personality of Godhead for his act of benediction. Therefore, we can simply feel gratitude and pray to the Lord with folded hands. This prayer of the child in the womb may be questioned by some atheistic people. How can a child pray in such a nice way in the womb of his mother? Now, the answer to this challenge or question: everything is possible by the grace of the Lord. The child is put into such a precarious condition externally, but internally he is the same, and the Lord is there. By the transcendental energy of the Lord, everything is possible. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pachacharya Sadarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasari Vasavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I would be very grateful if you can give me your full attention, because the subject matter of today's verse and today's talk will be to make ourselves a little bit familiar with a very important energy of the Lord, which is of very great significance for our own spiritual developments. Here we hear a child expressing a very good prayer, and obviously the question which is immediately there in our minds is, how can a child speak such a prayer? Yesterday Maritza from Malmö has come with three of her children, and I don't know if any of your child has spontaneously spoken such a prayer, and they are so much older than the little embryo in the womb of the mother. How can a small embryo do what a small child cannot do? And this is a question, a justified question. However, Prabhupada gives an answer to this, which is, may sound simple, but which is very deep. The answer, Prabhupada, is that by the benediction or the blessings or the grace of the Lord in the heart, it is possible that a soul becomes awakened to consciousness and begins to speak very nicely. There's a prayer in our tradition which is often quoted by Bhagavatam readers or by all speakers in India. It goes Mukham Karoti Vachalam, etc., which says in English, by the mercy of the spiritual master, but it can the Sanskrit also sometimes says Paramananda Madhavam, by the mercy of Madhava, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a blind man can see the stars in the sky. A lame man is able to cross mountains by walking, and a fool can by that mercy become an eloquent speaker. Eloquent speaker means words come to him just automatically. This is possible by the mercy, by the grace, or by the benediction of the Lord, or it is also possible by the benediction of the spiritual master. In our spiritual lives, the benediction or the mercy of the Guru, of the Vaishnavas, and of different other agents is of paramount important. See, bhakti is not a process where you are dependent only on your own strengths. If you work with your own strengths, you will always remain limited, because our physical strength is limited, and so is the strength of our mind and intelligence. We are all born with this natural limitation. I think we all felt this when yesterday the break dancer was dancing so acrobatically. We can only say acrobatically. We said, "Oh, if I'm supposed to do this, then this is not possible." Or our Madhiji, who has come from the sacred country of Holland, was also dancing very energetically, and we were all thinking, "Wow, what a joyful personality is dancing for the pleasure of the Lord." I felt, "Oh, when I was young, I was like that also. But now the body is above 50, and such dancing doesn't come so easily any longer. Because we are limited. Our physical bodies is limited. You, I think, have all made your experiences. But by the blessings of the Kripa Shakti, Kripa means mercy and Shakti means energy, one is able to overcome his limitations. It is easily possible. If you look in Jiva Dharma, you will find that there are five states of consciousness. These states of consciousness are also, at least the first two, I wanted to say, states of consciousness are coverings of the soul, which limit the eternal soul. The first state of consciousness is called covered consciousness, acchedita cetana. That means the consciousness is so much covered by dense layers of the material energy that it's not possible for the soul to even perceive that it is there, like trees or mountains. Now, not aware of their spiritual identity or of themselves as spiritual souls. Then the soul rises up a little bit and comes to what is called shrunken consciousness. Shrunken, I always like it very much because I have lost already 20 pullovers in the Hare Krishna movement because the devotees don't know that wool requires a cold temperature, not a hot temperature. So many of my pullovers have been come back in a shrunken form and were distributed to the children of our movement. This shrunken means it's not in the right shape any longer. So the shrunken state of consciousness is when the living entity takes on a birth as an insect. Like yesterday, Count Dracula was confronted with a deep spiritual insight. If you go on sucking blood, you might well become a mosquito and not necessarily in Mayapur. This was an insect has a very shrunken consciousness. It only thinks of the mosquito thinks of the mosquito thoughts, and fly of the fly thoughts. It's not in shape. It's not there. So the third state of consciousness is an uncivilized human being. Uncivilized means he doesn't know Dharma. And the second and the next state is something like us. It's the state of consciousness, which is called the blooming state of consciousness. This time of our lives, we try to develop our consciousness almost like a flower which starts to blossom in the springtime. This is when you follow Krishna consciousness according to rules and regulations on the Vaidhi mark. And then when you develop spontaneous affection, then your consciousness will come to the fifth state of consciousness, which is called the Purna Vikarchita Chetana, or the fully blossomed state of consciousness. A human being who has heard nothing of Dharma is in the budding state of consciousness. You know, bud is a state in the flower where the flower is not yet visible, but it is before manifestation. This would be like a... I don't have any buds here, but I think you understand. When it's closed, the flower is closed. Then when a person begins to follow rules and for spiritual development, he starts to bloom. And when he is finally full of love of Krishna, he is fully blossomed in his consciousness. He's fully there. There is a beautiful effect when we meet such a person. It's like when you meet or have a fully blossomed rose, you smell a very good fragrance. So when you meet a devotee who is in love with Krishna, you feel so pleased, you feel so happy in your life, you feel this, this is very good, this is very necessary for my life to meet such devotees. Yes. So this state, or this process of opening and finally blossoming in our spiritual lives is possible. Thank you, Prabhu. You are giving us the darshan of the Lord. Thank you very much. This blossoming up of the consciousness is a matter of two factors. One factor is of lesser efficiency, and the second factor which helps us blossoming in Krishna consciousness is of a greater efficiency. The first factor is our own endeavor. By our own endeavor, we can show Lord Krishna and the spiritual master that we are not any longer, how do you say, careless about our spiritual development. Our endeavor, we give a sign, we want very much our spiritual life to blossom. However, the fully, the blossoming is not really affected by our own endeavor as much as it is affected by the second factor of spiritual development. The second factor is kripa, or mercy, which comes from the Lord or His devotees. By the blessings of spiritual personalities and of Lord Krishna, everything which seems to be impossible becomes possible. And without the blessings, even things which we think we can do on our own are sometimes not happening. Many times they are not working. In our Western civilization, and I see this also in our Western branch of the Hare Krishna movement, we don't understand this at all. Westerners have been carefully bred or educated in the philosophy that everything is dependent on your own endeavor. Even Western religion, which there is a branch in Christianity which is called Calvinism. You know Calvinism? That has influenced the modern view of Christianity, that if you endeavor very, very much and are a very good person, then and you get money, then this is a sign of the grace of God. It's the basis of capitalism. You know, mercy of God means money. Try as hard as you can for the money. In Krishna consciousness, we understand mercy cannot be earned. All you can do is you can show the Lord that you want it very much. And once the Lord becomes convinced that you wish to obtain the blessings will come through many different channels. The wonderful Ganges River of blessing can flow into your life and elevate your life and uplift you. I would like to talk to you on these about these different channels today, but I first would like to draw your attention to the fact that if you wish to have mercy, you must always take on an humble, or let us say, inferior position. Just like water will always flow from up to down, from a higher position to a lower position, blessings always flow from a higher position, that is the Lord or His devotees, to a lower position, that's us. Provided we go into this lower position. If there is an arrogant, foolish devotee who thinks I can do it on my own, the mercies will not come because he has not been able to seek a lower level. How can water flow up? You know, it will always go down. So if you don't bow down, Mr. Devotee, if you don't become a humble servant, then you will actually not get the most important Shakti of the Lord, that is the Kripa Shakti, the mercy Shakti of the Lord. It will not come, it will not flow in your direction, it will not reach you. because you are somewhere up in some imaginative position of glory. It's called kalpana in Sanskrit. Kalpana means an imagination, a concoction, a hallucination only. I would like to give you an example by which this principle becomes very, very clear. And it's an example which will very much illustrate the principle of blessings. Just before the battle of Kurukshetra, Yudhishthira Maharaj took down his armor. You know the Danish word for armor? Yes, it is. You all understand armor? It's when knights, fighters, they protect themselves by an iron a shield, they have armor. He took this down and he started to walk in the direction of the enemy. Bhima Sena was shocked. After 13 years of exile, after the most atrocious evil things, his brother still thought of making peace with the Kauravas. He was crying, tears of anger. Every lift into the face of the Kauravas. Yes. Hare Krishna. But he was the older brother. What to do? He also took down his armor and went behind Yudhishthira crying. Arjuna saw his two brothers. What is Yudhishthira doing? But he also followed his older brother. Duryodhana on the other side was dancing with joy. The battle is won before it has even begun. Here they come for peace talks. But I know nothing to worry from the Pandavas. But Yudhishthira went immediately to grandfather Bhishma. He bowed down to the grandfather and said, "Grandfather, can I have the blessings to fight with you?" "Oh," said grandfather Bhishma, "very good that you have come. Of course." Then Yudhishthira was becoming very sad and a tear came up in his eyes. "Grandfather Bhishma, as long as you are living and fighting, there's no chance for the Pandavas to win. I want to have a second blessing." Asked, "May we kill you?" "Oh, yes, of course. You have my full blessings." Tatastu. "If you would not have come, Yudhishthira, I would have annihilated the armies of the Pandavas single-handedly. But now you will win. You are the best." And then Arjuna was looking at Bhima. Very good. Then they went to Dronacharya, Kripacharya, and all the Pandavas went to all those who had ever taught them, and they asked for the blessings to engage in warfare with them, because it was known to them by the power of blessings, even the power of blessings of superiors, it's very easy to move on the path. I will tell now something which the Hare Krishnas don't like to hear. It is necessary to obtain blessings. That's why we every day go to our Srila Prabhupada. We take our hands, touch the feet in the morning, and put the dust on our heads, because we know we require the blessings of a superior personality, of our most worshipable founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada, so that our day, that we become victorious over the Maya energy in this world. Also, blessings of other people are necessary. Blessings of elders and of parents also. I know that we as devotees often have parents who are not yet awakened to spiritual consciousness and therefore object to our choice to become a devotee. But they are superior to us in age, in experiences. Therefore, in spiritual life, if it's possible to obtain the blessings of the parents, we do this. We go there. In India, we know this, isn't it? In India, we know. Yes. Now, I was very skeptical about this point for a long time, until I found out in my life that no, not in my life, in psychology. No, I found out many devotees had problems, and some of the devotees wanted to have some, solution of the problems, and they found out that many problems, it's a long subject, but I will just make it very short, happen when your parents are very much hurt, and they are very hurt by what you did, that you maybe abruptly, without explaining yourselves, have left them and have offended them by calling them unenlightened and so on and so forth. No? And it's known in psychology that many difficulties come to a person who comes from a broken home. It is known that you have a broken relationship to those who have given you your body in this, with which you can follow the path of self-realization. That is not good. Therefore, it's necessary, even for a monk, or a spiritual person, to try to pacify the parents and obtain in some ways their goodwill, their good wishes. This is important because, very simple, we are human beings and we have a body which is under the law of material nature and which is under the law also of these small dharmic rules. Of course, if the parents are not willing to give us the blessings because they are maybe opposed even to the very concepts of spiritual life, then we will go ahead anyways and we will not be disturbed because we will take shelter at Mukunda's lotus feet. Then all our obligations towards parents and whomsoever is automatically fulfilled. But we on our side should act very respectfully and very kindly to obtain the necessary blessings for our spirit, for our development in human life. I will go now to other sources of blessings, superiors, especially Vaishnavas, older Vaishnavas. By the blessings of the Vaishnavas, everything is possible. However, if we offend Vaishnavas, that is, we do exactly the opposite of obtaining their blessings and good wishes, we will develop a character and personality which is very bad for our spiritual development. Jiva Goswami explains in Bhakti Sandarbha that the result of aparadha, or the result of offenses against devotees, is that we will develop a crooked mentality. Also, if we continue not looking for the blessings of the Vaishnavas, but doing the opposite, that is, hurting and offending them, we will develop ashraddha. Ashraddha means a lack of trust. We just don't have so much faith in Krishna consciousness any longer. Do you sometimes have noticed this in your own spiritual life? And sometimes you ask yourself, where is my childlike faith in the mercy of the Lord? This ashraddha, or disbelief, or doubt even, is a result, can be a result, can be, it's not always, of aparadha. Also, we develop another thing if we don't get seek the blessings, but hurt and offend. We develop attachment for our material ways, the things which we liked before, maybe music, maybe some of us were attached also to some undesirable substances, maybe sexuality, maybe money, maybe fame, and all these things. We develop an attachment to these things again, and not only that, we become absorbed in them. We can't get it out of our head. I want this thing to go out of my head, but it just seems to stick to our personality. No? This is the result of aparadha. Then another result is we will become slack in our bhakti. Slack means our bhakti won't be so intense. It's just very superficial, very shallow. And the last thing is, you might be surprised, but a person who doesn't look for blessings, who makes aparadhas, will become very proud. I'm the best of devotees. It's paradoxical. It's even ironical how Maya punishes such a poor soul who is on the wrong track. He will think, I did so much service. When will everyone be able to see this with an enlightened mind? we think like this. It said there is in India a folklore song, a folk saying in spiritual circles. I really don't know if it is, but it gives you some good idea. When you make 100 offenses, you lose your truthfulness. You're no longer attached to the truth. If you make 1,000 offenses, you lose your austerities. And if you make 10,000 offenses, you lose your bhakti. Hare Krishna. Just to give you an idea. But if you look for 100 blessings, you will speak the truth always. If you look for 1,000 blessings, you will be austere. And if you look for 10,000 blessings, you will be blessed with pure bhakti. It's a folklore saying. Please, it doesn't have the same value as a Shastric statement, but it gives you some idea about this subject matter which we are dealing with. The first point was from Jiva Goswami. That's 100% sure what you, when you lose the blessings because you make so much offenses out of ignorance or maybe out of old samskaras, then you become crooked, attached again, pride and all these things come. Anyways, let's go to very very nice subject matters. By the blessings of the Lord and by the blessings of the Vaishnavas, really impossible things become possible. And I will at the end tell you a little Krishna katha, which I like very, very, very much. It's about the blessings of Lord Krishna. See, Lord Krishna had two devotees in Vidhi. Sachi Devi, you are from India, you might know. Is the country called Videha and the capital city Mithila, or is Mithila the country? Mithila is the country. There were two brahmanas who lived in Mithila, in the capital city of Mithila, so to say, the Copenhagen of Mithila, that is Videha. They were very, very different, these two brahmanas. One was the king. I think his name was, yes, Bahulashva. And the other was a very poor brahmana named Shrutadev. Both of them knew our Lord, Sri Krishna, has appeared on planet Earth. He would like so much to have his darshan. But they could not take the darshan of the Lord because they had obligations to their deities. They just couldn't travel to Dwaraka to see Lord Krishna because they were worshipping the deity as identical with the Lord. Therefore, Krishna came to them. One day, Krishna decided, I will go to Videha and I will see Bahulashva and Shrutadev. I will give them my personal darshan out of my mercy. And he called Daruka, his driverji, went on his celebrated chariot and left the gates of Dwaraka to go to the mainland and then drive with his chariot to his two devotees. Wonderful, isn't it? Now, as he was leaving the gates, he saw behind him some sadhus and some brahmanas. And as he was going faster, they also tried to go faster. Krishna looked around and he understood these brahmanas wanted to go with him. So in one sweeping motion by his transcendental energy, he put them all on his chariot because he didn't want to inconvenience them so that they would have to walk so fast or use their mystical potencies to travel. And he went through all the countries. It's beautifully described in the Bhagavatam how the people who saw the chariot of Lord Krishna were running from the fields and praying at the railroad, and they were, some were falling unconsciousness, and they were offering praise. Jai Govinda! Jai Gopal! They were shouting like this. Others were offering gifts to the Lord and his associates, his companions. You know, Shukadev was amongst them. That's why we have the witness, the account of this. Shukadev, who later spoke the Bhagavatam, he was traveling with the Lord on the chariot, and he could see that the loving reciprocation between the people of the country with the Lord. Finally, now listen to this. The Lord arrived in Videha. There were two devotees who equally wanted his association. So can you imagine what the Lord did to satisfy both of them? He expanded in two, says Jagannath. Jagannath, you are blessed by the Lord with divine understanding. And then he did something which is so good that you will not react. I will not ask you this because it's difficult to imagine. He also arranged that the saints who had gone with him were splitting into an extra set of saints. You know, two. And do you know, they didn't know this. This is secret information from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So Lord Krishna went with one group to Bahulashwa and with the second group to Shultadev. When King Bahulashwa heard that the Lord was approaching his palace, his joy knew no bounds. He ran out of the palace and he said, "You have proved your statement that your devotees are so dear to you. Neither Ananta nor Sri nor Brahma are as dear to you as your devotees. You've come to my house. Stay for a few days. Don't go." And Krishna stayed at the king's palace. Can you imagine what the king did to host him? He gave him the most luxuriant foods, rooms, accommodations. He proved to be the most wonderful host. Shrutadev, on the other side, was a very poor Brahmana. Listen how he reacted when the Lord came to him. The Lord came. Shrutadev saw the Lord coming down the road. He chanted mantras against the power of the illusory energy because he could not believe it. Then he thought, it's not an illusion. It is a fact. My Lord comes. And he was immediately waving his cloth in transcendental ecstasy. He was dancing. And he did not know where to go, where not to go. He was bewildered. The Lord comes. I'm so poor. He immediately ran into his hut and he spread some kusha grass mats. Then he found out so many people are coming with my Lord. And I don't have enough grass mats. I'm very poor. So he ran to his neighbors. Give me all your grass mats. The Lord comes. And the sadhus, come, see this. And he put the grass mats. Betia, sit down, he said, and he was extremely happy. I have some information what he did. He brought water, then he brought a few little roots, little fruits, tulsi, which he put at the lotus feet of the Lord, and he massaged the Lord's lotus feet. With tears in his eyes, he took all the things which he usually took for his little puja. he massaged the Lord's lotus feet, and he said, "My Lord, I'm so fortunate to have your darshan today." And he said something very intelligent. He said, "You have always watched us and seen us. But I am seeing you for the first time." You know, he indicated that the Lord is the witness of everything which happens, and he always watches us. He watches Jagannath. He watches the boatmen. He watches everyone all the time. but we don't see him. This, there's the light. In the heart, I thought, coffee. You know, we. And then he said, "You created this whole world like a dreamer who lies down and dreams of a village and a town. It's a mental creation. And then, now, you have entered your own dream to meet me in your dream." I'm so glad. Then he said something else. "You reveal yourself within the heart to persons who have pure consciousness. You reveal yourself to those who constantly hear about you, who chant your holy name, who worship and glorify you, and who talk with your devotees about you. To them you come and you reveal yourself in their heart." That's what he said. When Krishna saw Shukadev talking, praying so nicely, he took the hand of Shukadev in his own hand as a loving gesture, and he touched the hand of his chest, and he held the hand of Shukadev for a long time in his own hand, because he felt, "Shukadev is my friend." That was the feeling of the Lord. There was some very deep sakyaras going on. Says Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. But then Shukadev, then the Lord wanted to give Shukadev a lesson. He said, "You have praised me, but what is with my devotees, the brahmanas who have come with me?" Lord Krishna pointed to the brahmanas and said, "You have praised me, but not them." And then he says, "You are only slowly purified by seeing and touching and worshipping the temple deities, pilgrimage places, and holy places will purify you slowly and gradually. But this same result is obtained by receiving the glance, the merciful glance of my devotees, the brahmanas." And here Lord Krishna makes the point. First of all, his appearance in the house of Shukadev, you can't describe it as a house, it's more like a straw cot. How do we say in proper English? Straw cottage or straw hut. That was by his own blessings. But now he makes another point. You must know, you may worship the deities, you may go to holy places of pilgrimages, but it's much more important to get the blessings of the brahmanas and the devotees. My dear devotees, I wanted to tell you this very beautiful lila, because it makes such a good point to us. Krishna tells his devotee Shukadev, who is very dear to him. Krishna would not tell his dear friend something which is of lesser importance. It is of utmost importance. He's telling him this by keeping his hand in his hand. You know, Shukadev, you have not praised these devotees, but you must know that everything goes very fast in your spiritual life if you praise and serve them. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this in a very beautiful way. He says, Krishna is very far away. Very far. Very distant. Not close. Very far away from those who are immersed in ignorance with the covering of pride and envy. But he is very near, and he comes very near, and can be easily realized by those humble souls who forever think of him in their hearts. And this is what I would like to add from Lord Krishna's earlier instructions. He's coming very clear near to devotees who serve other devotees. It's very important. If you don't serve devotees, it said you may chant Hare Krishna, but the chanting goes against you. If you don't serve devotees and are maybe even hurtful of devotees, your bath in the Ganga is not to your credit. It goes against you. The mood, in other words, the heart, the mood of the heart is very important. In Calcutta there is a saying, each day 1,000 prostitutes take their bath in the Ganga. But do they change? No, they wipe away whatever in the night came from the men on their bodies. Ready to go for another day. do again their activities in the streets of Calcutta. But they take bath in the Ganga. They don't have the right spirit of purification. There are, of course, sometimes prostitutes we hear who do have the right spirits, but I'm now speaking about those who are practiced in the art of deception. The mood is extremely important in the spiritual life, and that mood should be, we should always pray for the blessings. Oh my dear devotee, bless me. You are knowledgeable about Krishna. You have surrendered your life. Please bless me. Please give me mercy. Has ever someone asked you to bless him or her? No. In my life it happens every day a few times. And I have asked myself, how do I do this? You know, do I go? Just somehow try to get the Reiki energy through their hand, you know. No, what it means is you have when someone asks you for blessings, you should wish them well. That will empower the devotee. I made a very interesting experiment, but because I don't know you and you might never invite me if I do something too controversial in the Denmark temple, I will not do the experiment, but I will tell you of the experiment. 100 Pandava Senas, young energetic devotees. Our Mataji from Amsterdam, who is such a good dancer, you would have loved to be with them. They are so energetic, you know. They never sleep. They always dance. Have you met the Pandava Senas? Asashidevi, you? Not yet? Pavi, you have met them many times. English ones, yes. You know. So I wanted to show them how powerful the thoughts are which other people think of them. So I asked one of the Pandava Sena, a strong person, physically strong, I mean, also mentally strong, to go out of the temple, and we would call him. No one wanted to raise the hand because I have a name of being a little extraordinary at times. Please, it's a safe experiment. Don't worry. Finally, someone went. And, okay, so I gave the audience two instructions. Okay, he will come in, and we will make a simple. Now you have to help me in English. Kinesthetic experiment. Is it called kinesthetic? What is this? Yeah. You understand all? Yeah.
It's in the end of this mental kinesis.
Is
that the kinesis?
No. Okay. Kinesiology. Yeah, kinesiology. Yes. You just try to check the body by trying to. You will see. We will make a simple experiment. I told them, and the experiment A is you all think good things about him, how good he is, how you have to really concentrate, how extremely good he is, how he is so interested in spiritual life to come on this Pandava Sena trip to Nishina Chetra, and you know this was taking place in Nishina Chetra, and think of his good qualities. So when I say experiment B, I think only negative things. We will later beg forgiveness from him. Think how absolutely foolish he is. How he's so extremely bright. how he is so motivated and so on. He must have come here to find some Pandava Sena lady. This must be the reason. He's not spiritual. You know, and so on and so forth. Then I made sure that everyone understood what's the difference between A and B. I mean, the experiment A and the experiment B. Then this person came in. And we greeted him very affectionately and said, you please hold your right hand now. And one devotee, his name was Jagannath Sutta. You have to now slowly press his hand down here. And the person had to offer as much resistance as he possibly could. He was strong, and it was difficult for Jagannath Sutta in experiment A. You are thinking, how extremely nice, and even his dhoti is nice. Everything is nice about him, you know. And the second, then I said, thank you. Now experiment B. And everyone thought what I had instructed them. They did very well. And Jagannath Sutta's, this devotee's, this Pandavasena's arm went down very quickly. It was very easy. This is just like. So he felt very, very hurt in his pride. You know, he was a young man, and everyone looked at him, and he was not a weak young man. And he put it, let's do it again. I said no. Did you perceive any difference? And he was bewildered. He thought, I don't know. It was just very strange. All of a sudden, I had no strength any longer. I don't know. He was really totally bewildered. And I said, ah. And everyone in the room was totally shocked to see this. Totally shocked. Because I also had not expected such a result. I had heard about the experiment from Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, but I conducted it the first time in my life. It was really such a marked difference. My dear devotees, this tells a lot about practical life. If the devotees think positively about each other, very unusual things are possible. This is the blessing energy which comes, you know, a very kind energy which uplifts a human society. We all are supposed to have these kind thoughts. Yesterday I went with one devotee, came from the airport, and he said in the airport, these karmis, they live like rats in their rat holes. And I thought, Hare Krishna, it's possible to see it like this, but it's better to see them, they need help, and they need inspiration in spiritual life. They need a Hare Krishna festival. This is much better to see it like this. It's more beneficial for them. So as devotees, we are meant to look in this way towards people with kindness towards each other. And this has a lot of energy. It's really amazing. If you would have seen the experiment, it's just mind-blowing. Maybe, you know, we should do it for the Sunday feast. You know, just ask a strong Dane, follower of the Vikings, you know, to hold his arm. This is amazing. It also shows the thoughts of our own selves. Because I make a different point now, I want to talk about blessings and not the strengths of your own thoughts. I will stick with the main point. So blessings means just to think well about others, maybe to pray for others. Blessings are so important, much more important than your own endeavors will ever be, because we are limited. Let us face it, we are limited. We may try so many things. Especially the blessings of Srila Prabhupada are very important for each one of us. He is a great soul who has shown his tremendous desire to give blessings and to uplift the fallen souls. You know, under which inconveniences, personal inconvenience, Prabhupada has come and established it. The blessings are very much available also for, the next generation. Not only the disciples of Prabhupada can obtain his blessings, but also to say, also you, Parivada is a Prabhupada disciple, and I'm trying to become one. But the blessing is there for everyone, and don't think you cannot contact this great soul. Now I come to my real end. This was only the preliminary end, and now comes the actual end. There was one lady, I heard this, who came with a tour, tourist tour, to Prabhupada's Palace of Gold in West Virginia. Who has seen this palace, please? Raise your hand. Not yet. Rishabhanu has been there. Kolindi has been there. Yes. So many have seen. I thought, you know, it's now very nice. But there was a time when some unusual things were going on in the community. But they had this palace, and a lot of tourists used to come, just as they are coming now, to see this monument. It was really an architectural speciality. So there was this simple housewife from Illinois or whatever, and she came to Prabhupada, Vyasa-san. All of a sudden, she heard a voice, "Take my shoes." See, the blessings of the pure souls are very much available, the great souls, when we touch their feet. Why? Because we become very low, you know, and even in bodily posture we become low. It's a gesture of humility to touch someone's feet. So she heard this voice, "Take my shoes." At that time, really, I have said unusual things went on. This is the most polite term I could find. Really, unbecoming things were going on. Let us not go into details. Why? They are now very good. Why should we talk about a bad past? She thought, what? Take the shoes? I mean, they are. I'm crazy, I ate too much. you know, the housewife, this is an ordinary housewife. Not stealing, you know, normal person, you know, from normal family background. So she went out of the, she followed the other tourists, went out of Prabhupada's. It's a very beautiful Vyasa-san, the main room, the main hall. And she heard, "Take my shoes, take them now, where the others are outside." She had serious doubts. Is this the best thing to do? To go to a historic place or of another religion and steal shoes? Is this the best thing to do? She had this very serious doubt. But she turned around, went into Prabhupada's house. "Good that you have come. Take my shoes now. Put them into your, you know, what is it? Carrier bag." Yeah. And she put them in the carrier bag and stole the shoes. 5 years later, when Prabhupada was again giving his blessings to the community, she heard the same voice in Illinois or wherever this town, "Bring back my shoes." She had all forgotten about this. What? Yes, in the dream, it came. The voice came, "Bring back my shoes." It was you must know very well in the dream, but the voice was there, "Bring back my shoes." At least that's how I heard it.
She saw Prabhupada in the dream also, and
Prabhupada was visible to her. Yes, that's why she took it maybe very serious, because it was not just some tinnitus, you know, some maybe very interesting new form of tinnitus, you know, the shoe tinnitus. You know, tinnitus is some sound in the ear. Yeah. She at Parivida reminds us, she saw Prabhupada. And she heard Prabhupada saying, "Bring back my shoes." She didn't immediately bring back the shoes because it was so unusual, and she's not a mystical devotee of of Krishna, but eventually she actually came back to the palace and told the devotees, the shoes are here. I'm not a person who steals things. This is I heard, I should take them and I should bring them. And she did so. So this is a sign, I think, where we can understand Prabhupada is very much alive, and we can ask for the blessings. My dear devotees, if you're just getting ready to understand this mood, and then carefully plan your life of blessings, of taking blessings, everything will go extremely fast. There are many, many places you can get blessings. Prabhupada's blessings are best gotten at his samadhi places. That's said. If you want the blessings of the Goswamis, you can go to Vrindavan. Many devotees have reported dramatic changes in their lives by praying at Prabhupada's rooms in Vrindavan for his blessings. They have reported deep spiritual insights into deep points of the philosophy. To get the blessings of Lord Krishna, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can go to Mayapur. It is said that even if you just sleep there, your sleep is considered to be a dandavat. This is very easy for the for those who want easy ways, you know. But you should also act in such a way that you get the blessings of the devotees, the well wishes of the devotees, by serving them. I think all of us have gotten a lot of blessings because of the wonderful festival which was put on, and everything was just so nice. Parivida Prabhu, I also want to thank you very much for your wonderful acting. I was so absorbed in the acting that usually you want the artist to speak himself, you know, but I forgot this anatta in me, that I wanted the artist to speak themselves. I was so absorbed in the acting that I totally was. And I liked the humor so much. The boatsman story was very good. But I was not 100% attentive, I must admit, because I was simultaneously preaching. But then I began to like it so much that I said, for the next play, I will be 100% attentive. And then I saw Count Dracula, you know, Bela Lugosi, the famous actor who died in the suit of Count Dracula. He was always playing Count Dracula. Now, he would have blushed with enviousness. It was just so extremely excellent. Have you seen? You're right, you were. You got the major. Jagannath was very intelligent. He got, you know, because if the cooks get a lot of blessings usually. I became aware of this point many years, not many, only few years back. I became aware, I'm trying so hard as I can. It's not very spectacular what I can do, but I remember in the old times everything was just going so easy in my spiritual advancement. I was thinking like this very deeply, and now it's so hard, and life is so intense. I was thinking like this, and then I understood the thing about blessings. I had also thought very deeply about the one verse where it is said, that Nadideham Adyam Sulabham Sululabham, the human form of life is very rarely attained. It is a suitable boat to cross over the ocean of birth and death. The instructions of Lord Krishna are like favorable winds, and the spiritual master is Guru Karnadharan. The spiritual master is described as Karnadharan, that means he carries ears. Karna means ears, and Dharan means to carry ears. I was thinking in the moment, but we all carry ears. It's not a special sign of difference, you know. But then I understood he hears what Krishna says, and then he will be able to talk. And this is how we all experience Srila Prabhupada. Yes, he is the one who can steer the boat. It is said like this. It was said like this. And I was thinking, yeah, when you are in an ocean, you absolutely need wind. We did this congregational preaching. Some of you had visited us, I believe, when we came with this one ship. Later we took two huge ships over the ocean, and when there is no wind, you can't do anything. Of course, in modern times you have your engine, and you cheat. But when there's no, imagine the Vikings without wind, you know. Favorable winds. You have to have favorable winds, yes. So I always think of blessings, the blessings of the scriptures and so on, like favorable winds. Without it, we can't move. Really, in spiritual life, it's an illusion to think that we can move on our own strength. We're so material, our body, our mind, so material, extremely material. We need some other force, some other strengths which can move us in our lives. It's very important. With our endeavors, we just can show, I want the blessing. That's all. Krishna. So I have come to the end now. This is the final end, the definite end. But some question and answers are still possible. And do you have some questions regarding these points? Yes, our Martin.
Not really regarding the point of more advanced words.
Yeah.
And this and your praise is only
it's the human soul who has this wonderful ability to rise to consciousness. See, the human form of life only can you consciously reflect the blessings of the Lord. All creatures have the blessings of God to some extent, but they are not conscious about it. Only the human being can become conscious of God. And therefore, only the human being can pray in the womb to come. Usually the prayer has another aspect. First of all, it's a gratitude. I'm waking up now from the dullness of consciousness. And then the human soul will continue to pray and say, I really want to serve you, my Lord. This life I want to serve you. But then the human soul in this position becomes reflective, more reflective. There's a second thought that, yeah, but I did this so many times, and And then when I come out of the womb, I'm usually overwhelmed by Maya. And then the human soul decides first, I will stay in the womb, because now I'm Krishna conscious. When I'm out, I may be Maya conscious. But then the powerful winds come. Winds means the winds move the muscles of the lady. And I don't know what it is called, but the contractions begin, and then that child is coming out. It's not, as I have asked further questions to learned devotees in this, it's not that every human child will have such a prayer. It's those who are pious, in other words, those who have some spiritual benefit with them, you know, who may, in a previous life, they have practiced a spiritual life. It's not that every... Sorry? Yes, who have some realizations with them. It's not that every person has these prayers. But I have thought on my own. I think many of those who are devotees, when they came to the temple, it was not so very strange for them. With others, when they, people who come to the temple or come in contact with us, it's so strange. Our energy, you know, they feel it as very strange and very, they become upset, really, and even angry at us, you know, because it's just too... they can't fathom or grasp it. But many devotees, Western devotees who have come, they felt like very natural. That may be an interesting point for our Sachi Devis from India, and who it's clear they have very good samskaras if they are born in such families. But I remember my father once, when he came to the temple, he saw me bowing down to Tulasi Devi. A proud German family, you know. He said, did I see it right? I don't want to be impolite, but did you bow down to a plant? did I see this right? He first wanted to understand if he had seen something wrong, you know. There's so many new pictures and everything is so overwhelming. New fragrances, incense, and see, yes. Can't understand you. We tried to make you a civilized German, and we sent you to the, you know, a good German families. The boy has to go to a dancing school. Do you have this in Denmark also? Nowadays people laugh about it, but yes, you learn in the dancing school good manners. You were also there, Bharivita. Oh, but you have learned. You know, and I remember, I just totally objected to the objectives of this. I was always doing everything the opposite way, just to step on the nerves of my behavior teacher. We tried so much to teach you proper behavior, you wouldn't even nod your head out of politeness. You know, you learn and just to make this, and the girls go, you didn't learn this, and now you never even nodded to anyone. Now you have to touch with your head the floor before a plant. Father, it's Tulsi Devi. Tulsi Devi, very difficult, very difficult. But for me, it was very natural. There was yes, they took very unusual, but yes, why not? You know, and so on, no problem. And so many devotees feel like this, but there are other people who just cannot understand why to do this. This is just not not that they are bad people, but it's just not how to put this concept into the head. It's not fitting. I just can't understand it. So this is what I wanted to. Yes. So it must be special souls who feel attracted to Krishna consciousness. And most probably, I think a majority of the people here have prayed to the Lord like that. Majority of devotees. Mm-hmm. Yes, Jagannath.
So we can see even how even very inimical parents can later on become favorable.
Like yeah.
A classical example is Dhammalama Maharaj. Yeah. You know, his parents, they hired a deprogrammer, and in the end they ended up practically becoming devotees themselves.
Yeah.
Are very favorable.
Correct. Yeah.
So maybe we shouldn't be so quick to give up even on inimical parents.
Mm-hmm. See, there are demoniac people who, but then there are people who are concerned. They may act in the same way, but it is their motivation is different. They want to help. They don't understand. They are not necessarily demoniac, therefore, that is opposed to God and His devotees. And they're just concerned, is what is the right decision, and my child, and then they these can be helped, but really outright demons, they will never be able to change so easily. Krishna says in the Gita that the real demons he really covers them again and again in demoniac species. Yes, we have all seen amazing transformations, and I will speak about this in the afternoon. Mothers and fathers should never be angry with their inferiors, but they are, yes. Yes, it's a very powerful thing. It's so powerful, it somehow has been removed out of the thought of our culture. It's a very... That it works in the material field, and it works also on the spiritual field. I have seen this with many children. They're just older. Yeah. Sachi Devi has a child called Damodar. And the Damodar, he stroke me also very, very old. Have you also noticed? Sometimes it can. I had this also, this experience. See, sometimes when the child is just so small, it looks like a very shrinkled, it's not yet so beautiful, it just had come out of the womb. After 1 week or so, then in the Vedic tradition, the elders are invited to come and bless the child. And the child is given a bath, and then you're supposed to, you have a kusha grass like this, and then you touch the different limbs of the naked little child, and you speak your blessings on that. This is a tradition which will protect the child. Mother Yashoda often, may Krishna protect you, your arm, your sure left arm, right arm. She often did this with Krishna when he came back from being attacked by a demon again. This is actually done also at the not immediately after the birth. The child is so traumatic, it has to first get a little peace, you know, and so on. But then after a week or so, and you do this. And I remember the last child where I did it, he opened the eyes all of a sudden and looked at me. And you know, sometimes when a person looks at you, you go like, oops, this is a strong personality who looked at me. And I felt like this. The kusha grass almost fell out of my hand. And I was thinking, I shouldn't bless you. You should bless me now. I felt like that. I could see that very distinctly. Very distinctly. Very distinctly. And I was thinking, what's wrong with you? It's just this, you know, this shrinkled little baby, you know, everywhere folds, you know. But I felt very... There's a very nice, in Brihadbhagavatamrita, there is a very nice statement. Parikshit Maharaj tells his mother, Uttara, try to somehow bring yourself to Goloka. And the question is, how can anyone go to Goloka on his own endeavors? And then the purports say, by the blessings of Vaishnavas, it's possible to go to Vrindavan, to Goloka. But still, Parikshit Maharaj said this, try to bring yourself to Goloka, because he wanted to make the point that if you wish to have the mercy, you must show the Lord that you are not gleichgültig. The German word is gleichgültig. I'm trying to...
Indifferent.
Thank you. Sprichst du Deutsch?
Ein bisschen.
Oh yeah. That you are not that you are not indifferent to his mercy. That's very important. Our endeavors are to show the Lord we are not indifferent. We care. That isn't it when someone doesn't care, not even you will take care of such a person, you know. You don't want to push yourself on someone. You must show the Lord that you are not indifferent.
Eager.
You are eager, in other words. Yes. That is very important. This eagerness shows the Lord that he really cares. He wants. He's not indifferent. He doesn't go, your mercy, oh, yeah, sounds very religious. It's Sunday. On Sunday we hear religious things in the church, you know, also in the temple. No. You must show you want it. Prabhupada once went with devotees in this one park, Central Park, and it was apparently in the winter time when the ducks didn't have so much food. And the devotees went to throw them some, I guess, must be chapatis or some dry chapatis. And Prabhupada was looking at this scene. And then he put one of his typical Srila Prabhupada questions. Who gets the most food? And then he answered the question. He had noted one duck, it seems, and he said, he who squawks or quacks the loudest, you know. So let us start to do some quacking. It may not necessarily mean the loudest in voice, but the loudest in feeling. And then you get very, then you show the Lord, you're not indifferent, you're eager. Hare Krishna. We have now 10 o'clock. we will close the lecture here. We will have a Sunday program. I think, when is it starting? 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock? 3 o'clock. See you then. Srila Prabhupada ki Sisi Gonitai ki Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.